on the principle of Christ. A very quick recap, more so for the benefit of our brothers who are joining us today. That's Brother Emeka, am I correct? And that's Brother Muyidin, right? Both of you welcome. God bless you in Jesus' name. We've been doing this teaching for some weeks now on the principle of Christ, the nature of Christ. What is Jesus Christ like? And we have discovered that the nature of Jesus is obedience. Whoever belongs to Jesus Christ is going to be obedient. Anyone who is disobedient does not belong to Jesus Christ, because his principle is obedience. So when you see anyone who is lawless, if you see anyone who is disobedient, who is argumentative, who will not respect authority, it does not matter what he calls himself, he does not belong to Jesus Christ. We mentioned that there are two principles that operate in the universe: the principle of obedience and the principle of rebellion. Obedience is symbolized by Jesus Christ, and rebellion is symbolized by Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Now, at any particular moment in your life, you are operating under one of these two principles. It is either your life is obeying God or your life is disobeying God. There is no in between. You either obey God or you disobey God. Now, God is not interested in what we say. He is not interested in our doctrine. He is interested in our principle, because that is what shows who we actually are. And what has been discovered is that many Christians in doctrine, they follow Jesus Christ, but in principle, they follow Satan. So, as far as God is concerned, they are still children of Satan. Okay. Let's try and simplify it. That Christians in doctrine, many Christians, not all the Christians, but many Christians in doctrine, they follow Jesus. Doctrine simply means teaching. The things that they teach, the things that they tell one another. They come to church and say, "I believe in Jesus." They pay tithe. They read the Bible. They pray. In fact, they fast. But when it comes to the issue of obedience, you tell them that is a red light. Now, you know a red light, you must not jump the red light. And a Christian jumps the red light. He has disobeyed. Last man stops him, and because he's riding a big vehicle, says, "Come and get out of the road, my friend," and then he zooms off. He has disobeyed. Because the last man there is representing God, his delegated authority. He was put there to maintain law and order. A Christian comes to church, even teaches, and then disobeys in the office, disobeys at home. His doctrine is perfect. When you listen to him talk, he tells you the right thing. That is the doctrine. But when it comes to the behavior, he does the wrong thing. That is the principle. Are you getting the point now? What he is teaching is not what he is doing. He tells you that Jesus is my Lord, but he does not live like Jesus. Jesus obeys God unto death. He will not obey. He believes that disobedience, what is called gra-gra in Lagos, is the best way that you can show that you are a man. So when they say don't go there, he goes there so that he can show that he's bold. The moment he does that, he shows that he's a child of the devil. Even though the following Sunday, he will still show up in church. Even though the following Sunday, he will still teach the Bible. But the principle that is controlling his life is the principle of Satan. Meanwhile, the doctrine that is following is the doctrine of Jesus. When he dies, he will go to hell. And that is why we need to be very careful. And we also mentioned that Satan is not afraid of our prayer. That we have gathered like this. We can stay here for the next 48 hours, praying and binding the devil. The devil is not afraid. We can fast for 40 days and 40 nights and say we are drawing spiritual power. The devil is not afraid. The only thing that frightens him is the day we make up our mind, we are going to be obedient. Because you can pray from morning till night and still be disobedient. You can fast 40 days, no food, no water, and still be disobedient. But the day you make up your mind, no matter what it costs me, I will obey God. That day, hell knows they have an enemy. Because the person who has purposed that he will obey God, God will use that person to destroy the works of darkness. And that is where each one of us should aim to be obedient, that we might become vessels, perfect vessels of honor in the hands of God. God tests our obedience in so many ways. Like we shared last Sunday, there are times when God will put us under wicked people. He will allow us to be under people who are bad, and then they will give us instruction, and God will see whether you will obey or not. You must obey. So long as they are not telling you to commit sin. Now, if anybody tells you to commit sin, then God expects you to take a stand in that place, because you are now facing the test of righteousness. You must show that you are living in righteousness. And then you must tell him with humility, "Sir, I'm very sorry, but what you are asking me to do, it is sin. I cannot do it. I cannot. If I do it, I will sin against God. I'm sorry, it is not right. We should not do it that way. I cannot do it." Say, "Why? I'm not questioning your authority, sir. But this one, it is sin. This one is not right. God will not approve of this one. If you don't do what I say, I will fire you. I will sack you, sir." "You can sack me, sir. The God whom I serve will pick me up." That's why God came to rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They told the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We are not going to bow to that idol. We recognize your authority. You are the king. Our God, whom we serve, he will deliver us from that fire. But even if he does not deliver us, we will still not bow. Because that one is sin." Are you playing along with me? So don't say that you went to church and they taught you obedience, that you must obey. You must obey. That is a lie. When obedience is crossing over into sin, then you take a stand. The reason why Nigeria is in this situation we are in is because Christians are not taking a stand in righteousness. If Christians are saying that extra budgetary allocation that they are distributing in the ministry, "I will not take it to..." There was a Christian brother who said, "What am I going to do with all this money?" At the end of the year, his share was 50 million naira. You know what? Do you know what the civil servants do? When they do the budget, let's take for example Ministry of Works, and they budget 200 billion naira for Ministry of Works. And they say Ministry of Works should use it to construct roads, construct bridges, repair roads, repair bridges, they will not execute those contracts. Are you following along with me? They will not construct roads. That's why our roads are bad. They will not maintain roads. They will not construct bridges. The money will stay in the bank. At the end of the year, they will say that money is extra budgetary allocation. It has already been budgeted. It has already been released. It should not go back to the treasury. You understand? The money cannot be accounted for. They will now sit down. They will share it. Then the following year, they will put road construction, road maintenance in the budget for 2014. And then they will get another budget. They will not repair the road. They will not construct a bridge. At the end of the year, they will share the money. That's what is going on now. A brother, they gave him 50 million naira in his ministry. It was a civil servant. Said, that is your share. Now, a Christian must, in that situation, return the money and say, I will never touch it. And if he doesn't take the money, they will report him to the minister. And then they will sack him. They will find a way, they will fire him. Because people don't want to get fired, they will take the money. And then, to satisfy their conscience, they will give God 10% and say they have paid tithe, that it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. They are thieves. And that is why the corruption is increasing. If Christians have been saying no, if one Christian says no, I'm not going to take it. Another Christian says no, I'm not going to take it. The third Christian says no, I'm not going to take it. Even how many people will the minister sack? He will have to explain. They will have stopped it. Are you still along with me? Now, let's continue what we are going to share today. Disobedience will turn God into your enemy. I'm going to tell us something. Most of us may be hearing it for the first time. Do you know that the first time the word Satan was used in the Bible, it was not with reference to Lucifer? The first person that was called Satan in the Bible is God. I can see your faces. The first time that anybody was called Satan, it was God. Let's go. Numbers 22, verse 22. Let's read it. You will see. The thing, the problem that disobedience will cause. Hey, Mima, please, donate your Bible. Then you and the man will share his own. Numbers 22, 22. Are we there?
Yes.
I want to be sure we are all there. Are we there? Numbers chapter 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his horse, and his two servants were with him. You remember the story of Balaam, the prophet of God, whom God said, don't go with the people Balak sent. And then because Balak sent more people and promised more reward, Balaam now went back to meet God. He said, God, are you sure? These people have come back again, though. God now said, okay, go. Like one of our pastors said, that Balaam did not know the difference between go and go. He didn't know the difference. He took go to mean go. So when he went back to God, God said, go. You have made up your mind, you want to go. Go. As he was going, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, that verse 22 again, stood in the way for an adversary. That word adversary is the Hebrew word Satan. That's the first time it appears in the Bible. God became Satan to his prophet. Why? Because the man disobeyed God. God became his adversary. Satan simply means adversary. Are you following along with me?
Yes.
If a man lives his life in disobedience to the will of God, God will turn into his adversary. If God reveals his will to you, and God says, this is the direction I want you to go, and you say, because of this or because of that, you are now taking another way, then you will discover at every step that you take, it is not the devil that is fighting you. It is God himself that is fighting you. So we need to be very, very careful as people of God, so that our Father in heaven does not become our enemy. But what will turn him into our enemy is disobedience. Children of God, we must make up our minds that even if it is going to cost us our lives, like Pastor Mary read for us in Hebrews chapter 11, we must be prepared to surrender it. Jesus Christ says, he who will save his life will lose it. And he who will lose his life for my sake, the same will do what? He will save it. In looking at obedience, therefore, there are two categories of sin that we can commit. And this is very, very important. Many of us Christians, we are sensitive to sin, but we are not sensitive to rebellion. When we commit sin, we know. But when we rebel, when we disobey, we don't know. Many of us don't know. We take disobedience as a natural behavior. We are going to explain this by the grace of God, the spiritual dimension of disobedience. We will explain it next week Sunday by the grace of God. We can't get into it today. We are sensitive to sin. We are not sensitive to rebellion. There are times when we rebel and we are not aware that we are living in rebellion. But we stay away from stealing, which is sin. We stay away from telling lies. We stay away from adultery. And we assume that everything is right. You know, a wife that disobeys the husband has rebelled against authority. A child that disobeys the parents has rebelled against authority. An employee that fights the boss, that murmurs against the boss, that grumbles against the boss has rebelled. And then the employee will say, ah, if I didn't take my stand, that man will be thinking that I'm a fool in this place. He will just be riding me. You are a rebel. At that particular moment, you have left the principle of Christ. You have entered into the principle of Lucifer. And you are not even aware. That is why we encouraged us in one of the previous teachings, at whatever place you are, make sure first and foremost you identify who has authority here. Identify authority where you are and submit to that authority. You will not be in problem. We now go a step further. Even amongst those who are sensitive to rebellion, we are only sensitive to rebellion. We are not sensitive to presumption. Should I go over it again? Many of us are sensitive to sin. We are not sensitive to rebellion. Even amongst those who are sensitive to rebellion, we are not sensitive to presumption. Why? Because every sin that man commits falls into two categories. Category number one, not doing what God says. That's category one of sin. That is rebellion. Category two, doing what God has not said. That's presumption. I hope you understand that. Every sin that we commit falls into either of two categories. It is either you are not doing what God has said, or you are doing what God has not said. For example, God tells a man, carry this pulpit and put it in that corner. And the man says, why? Well, it's okay where it is. I mean, that's the best place it should be. Now that is rebellion. God didn't ask your opinion. What he says is carry this pulpit and put it in that place. If you don't carry it, you have disobeyed. That is rebellion. That's a sin. Now look at this situation. God did not tell a man to carry this pulpit. The man enters here and says, this pulpit where they placed it is not the right place. So, and he carries it and he puts it in that place. That is presumption. Are you getting my point? It was rebellion that destroyed Saul. It was presumption that killed Uzzah. And many of the things we are doing in the church today is not based on thus saith the Lord, it is based on presumption. It's a terrible sin. Many ministries are operating based on presumption. Many Christians are living based on presumption. Doing things God has not told them to do simply because they saw one Christian over there, he did something and it showed some results, they proceed to copy him. Is presumption. For example, it is now becoming fashionable in most ministries in Nigeria to do convention every year. Is that not so? It is now becoming fashionable for most ministries in Nigeria to do special program in December. Is that not so? Because they see a ministry do convention in August, a lot of people will go there. And then the same ministry in December will do a congress and a lot of people will go there. So that ministry too started doing convention and they started doing congress. Did God tell them to do it? Presumption. Let's say for example, the church on the mountain did a special praise program. Invited a lot of music ministers because God told the pastor when praying, what shall we do? God says, do a praise program. Invite music ministers. Let them come and minister. Invite people and raise an altar of praise for me that I might be glorified in that locality. So the pastor did the program the way God says he should. And a lot of people came. And the whole place was filled up and it was a successful program. And church on the valley across the street saw the result of the program. And the workers and the pastor sat and said, but pastor, which we can do a praise program now? Can't we do a praise program? There are people we can invite. And immediately they start contributing money. They start planning the program. And then they start praying, Almighty God, this praise program, bless it. Make it successful. Draw the people. Let them come. Father, glorify your name. Father, Lord, let your anointing fall. And they do the program. And people will come. And they will make a lot of noise. And after they have finished the program, they will congratulate themselves. Ah, that program was super. To God be the glory. To God, they are all going to hell. Why? Presumption. You are not called to do anything but what Christ tells you to do. It is better to sit down and do nothing than to do what God has not told you to do. It is better. Sit down, do nothing. Just keep going. Lord, you have not spoken, no. If you don't speak, I will not do anything. Why? Because it is the Spirit that gives life. It is only what the Almighty God initiates that has spiritual life. Consider all the programs that churches are doing. They come on the radio, you hear them say ridiculous things. Immediately you hear them advertising the program, you know immediately God didn't send them. Immediately you hear it, you know this one, it is, God is not in what they are doing. When they start, our Father in the Lord, special apostle, reverend, doctor, evangelist, prophet, pastor, Ademuyiwa Baba Ogbologbo, JP. Immediately you know that God is not there. Some will say, I'm laughing, I'm jumping, I'm rejoicing, I'm going to heaven, God has blessed. Somebody will say, God Almighty, when will I laugh like this? When will I smile like this? I say, stop that crying. God has ended your tears. If you come for the special program, Baba Kia Kia has descended from the mountain, you know immediately God is not there. You don't hear it on the radio? They are there. Immediately you know it is presumption. God has called them to do something different. What God has called them to do, they are not doing. Now, each time you do what God has not called you to do, you have left undone what He has called you to do. And we must be sensitive not only to rebellion, we must be sensitive to presumption. Presumption will send many Christians to hell. They will not. In fact, some Christians will land in hell. They will say, wonderful. What am I doing here? Wonderful. God, there must be a mistake. Inside the fire, God forbid bad thing. What am I doing inside this place? God, you know, I just commit adultery. I did not steal. I'm not a liar. I pay tithe. I pay offering. I pay seed faith. I pay vow. I pay thanksgiving. In fact, I pay first fruit. They will list everything. I'm not supposed to be here. And God said, if you are not there, where will you be? So I'm supposed to be in heaven. Said, to come and do what? You lived your life doing yourself will. You see, presumption is your will. You understand? Rebellion is opposed to God's will. God tells you, this is my will. And you say, no. And then you enter presumption, saying, I will do it my way. That is presumption, self-will. Brethren, it is better to do nothing than to do what God has not asked you to do. Anytime you do what God has not asked you to do, you have entered into self-will. May God deliver us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 15. We read some Bible passages and then we close. 1 Samuel 15, 19 and 24. We read the story of King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Verses 19 to 24. Wherefore then didst thou not obey, verse 19, the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and this evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Please, let's note that word. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee. Each time God speaks to us to do something and we refuse to do it, we have rejected his word. It's a serious matter. Anytime the Lord tells you, do something, and you fail to do it, what you have simply done is you have rejected his word. So the consequence is he also will reject you. I pray God will not reject us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I pray that our hearts will become tender. And more importantly, we will go through life not seeking to be important. We will go through life not desiring to be popular. We will go through life simply. Let me put it this way, let us simplify our lives. Let's simplify it. You understand? All the additions that people are now adding to make their life have value, let's lose interest. Let's simplify our life. Having food and raiment, let us be content. If we can simplify our lives, we will not fall into some of these traps. But if we desire to be like other people are, then there is going to be danger. I want you to note something. Verse 25. Saul now says in verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. In verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. You remember in one of our previous teachings, we mentioned that sin is easily forgiven because it has to do with conduct. But rebellion is not easily forgiven because it has to do with principle. Do we remember that? If you commit sin, God is more eager to forgive you when you repent than when you rebel. Because rebellion shows that inside of you, Lucifer is still there. Now, Saul repented. Now, what is repentance? Confession and forsaking sin, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. What is Saul saying? I confess I have sinned. Please forgive me. He was not forgiven. Why? Because he rebelled. Now let's go to 2 Samuel, verse 12. Chapter 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 12. 2 Samuel, chapter 12. Verse 13. Are we there? 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Do you see that? Do you see that, man? The moment David said, I have sinned, so immediately forgiveness came. Saul said, I have sinned. Please pardon my sin. He said, no. Why? Because David sinned, Saul rebelled. I think I need to give you some time for you to see. Do you see the seriousness of what we are talking about?
Yes.
Please, brethren, let us simplify our lives. Let's not follow people. Let's not copy people. Let's not desire to be like other people. Let us just be willing to be whatever God has made. Nothing more, nothing less. If now this is all God says we should have, let us be satisfied with it. If tomorrow he says have more, we will receive it more. If this is it for today, we take it. If he says sit down here, don't go anywhere, we sit down here, we don't go anywhere. If he says go over there, we go there. If he says speak, we speak. If he says keep quiet, we keep quiet. Let's simplify our lives so that we do not fall into presumption. So that we do not fall into rebellion. And may the Lord God himself uphold us until the very end. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Next week, we will look at the source of rebellion, the spiritual dimension to disobedience. And God will help us to understand more as we continue in these studies in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Lord, please help me. Help me to live my life